Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope all you guys are enjoying your Friday so far. Hopefully you have a great weekend. Before I get into my first topic, if you get a chance, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. If you haven't already done it, subscribe and hit that bell button. Because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or put up any brand new content. Ended up doing a live stream last night. Going to do another one today. I'm going to get back into the swing of things. I do apologize. I'm still, you know, I don't have any of the effects from my COVID battle anymore. My voice is good. Well, I don't, it's back to its annoying sounding version before I got COVID. Not having any of that problems. And then I had to help out with the move, moving into the new place and stuff. So I'm going to get back into the swing of things. Probably going to do a couple of them this weekend as well, too. I haven't understood this at all. I can't understand it at all. People, you know, here in the state of Florida, we have some of the most diverse wildlife, snakes, bears, Florida panthers. Even though you don't see a lot of those, very rare, they pretty much keep away from people. We also have black bears, all the poisonous snakes that you could think of. Like I said, I don't understand why people let their guard down now. The amount of people that are moving into the state of Florida on a regular and daily basis, how urban development, we're encroaching on the wildlife, and none of these animals have a place to go to. So we build up all these residents near wildlife preserves and stuff. And people just go about their day. Oh, I'm fine. I'm living in the big city. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. No, you always have to be vigilant. Keep your head on a swivel. And a lot of these people complain, oh, the bear attacked me. Because there's been two bear attacks this week in Volusia County, especially Daytona Beach. And people just walk around. They're like, they think that they're safe, but you're not. You got to be vigilant, like I said. Keep your head on a swivel. And stop walking your small dogs around without carrying a little bit of protection. Even if it's bear mace, hell, guess what you can do here in the state of Florida if you go through the right channels and the right process. You can get a concealed carry permit. And a lot of people, I don't believe in God. Guess what? I've never understood these people that go out on these long hikes without protection. That guy probably a couple of years ago, probably one of the baddest ass guys in the world. But I bet he wishes that he would have been carrying protection because he had a mountain lion attack him. And he had to choke this mountain lion out with his bare hands. Do you realize, I don't think I ever saw any pictures of the guy, but I can only imagine. Probably like he just woke out of a nightmare with Freddy Krueger. Could you imagine, like, just a house cat alone, it'll grab you with those front claws, and it'll just rake you with the back ones. And then that other hiker that was hiking down a trail, luckily, he didn't get attacked because he rolled up on a mountain lion that had some kittens, some cubs. And that mountain lion absolutely wanted to destroy him. But this lady, a lady got attacked walking her dog. This other guy walking his small dog gets attacked. And I'll get into it because I'm sorry. I know a lot of people love their dogs and stuff. I'm an animal lover as well, too. But I'm also going to look at the scenario before I do anything to put my life at risk to save a family dog. It's just not going to happen.
It was a terrifying encounter, leaving a man with bite marks and bruises. Florida Fish and Wildlife officials are searching for a bear in Daytona Beach this morning.
Wait, are they searching for a bear or the bear that attacked him? Because it's a black bear. It's a black bear. So, you know, black bears, how do you differentiate in between? I mean, pretty much all black bears look alike, don't they? So is some black bear that was just minding his business and the Florida Wildlife Commission is going to roll up on him? Do a little stop and frisk and stuff. No, I'm just joking here. But what I'm trying to say is that bears are bears. Bears are going to do what bears do. And I almost bet you people in this guy's neighborhood, even this, probably this guy, he doesn't have a trash can that's bear proof. That or he's just throwing his garbage out there in the can, no lid. And what do you think's going to happen when a bear knows that he's got a free meal there? He's not going to be scared of this guy anymore because this guy was on his back porch. Don't know exactly what he was out there for, but he let the dogs out. That's also another big no-no. When you got small dogs, you cannot let them out. One of my biggest fears when I was married, we had two small chihuahuas. We had Raven and Jazzy. Both of them were, you could consider teacup. And I had to walk, you just could not let them outside because my biggest fear, because, you know, I worked morning radio. I was off early. The days that I didn't have to go to the tanning salon and stuff and clean people's sweat off of tanning beds. But I would get home. I would walk the dogs. My biggest fear was letting them out in the backyard and a hawk or an eagle, any bird of prey swooping down and carrying them off. Now, it would have been bad for me. Oh, dude, I just would have left the house. Would have left the house. And I probably would have gone into witness protection and just never called back. I just would have left a note. Hey, sorry. Raven and Jazzy are gone. And can I even be mad at the eagle for doing that? No. Could I be mad at a hawk for? No, I could not be mad because that's an eagle and a hawk just being an eagle and a hawk. That's why these people need to be vigilant. They forget that they're living in a subtropical state with pretty much every poisonous snake that you could think of. We got coral snakes, rattlesnakes, moccasins. Hell, we even got pythons now in Florida. And people just take it for granted, and they're not vigilant. But this guy was out on his backyard or back porch, and he let his dogs out. And guess what? The bear was just being a bear.
After they say it attacked a man at his home on 4th Street. According to FWC, the victim was on his front porch when a black bear suddenly lunged at his dogs. The man then injured, trying to protect the dogs as he pushed the bear back.
I don't understand why WKMG did not play the video of this guy getting attacked because I found it on TikTok. Somebody had posted it on TikTok. It was on World Star Hip Hop. It's on YouTube. It's definitely making the rounds. And this guy was a complete idiot. This bear went, took a hack at one of his small dogs. And a lot of people don't know this. The one thing that you want to do when a black bear, it wouldn't really do you any good if a grizzly did it, but because you're not going to outrun a grizzly. It's just not happening. Everybody's like, oh, grizzlies are big. They can't go after you. No, they can. They will run you down like they were Eric Metcalf chasing down that guy that intercepted the ball. Yeah, they'll run you down like it's nobody's business. But you want to make yourself big. And this guy, like an idiot, I guess he I know for a fact because I saw the video, and I'm going to play the audio here in just a few minutes. But he got down on all fours. He got down on the level of the bear. And I'm telling you right now, the best thing this guy could have done, make himself big. And if you were going to do anything to attack this bear, you kick him in the face like Pete Stojanovic for the Miami Dolphins back in the day, lining up a good 50, 60-yard field goal and just let it rip. Is it going to do anything to the Bears? No, probably not. But it sure beats getting down on the Bears' level on all fours. This guy's lucky that he didn't get his throat slashed.
This is the second bear attack in Volusia County within a week.
When I realized then, she got me here.
Yeah, this chick, this was the other woman, the other person that was attacked. You know, I've been watching a lot of Wire, The Wire on HBO, and this chick ends up looking like Omar Little with a scar right down the middle of her eyes. She got messed up. Once again, not carrying any protection at all. Hell, even walking with a big walking stick that you can hit the bear with, like I said, it's not going to do anything. But guess what? I'd rather have a big walking stick than having to fight a bear with my bare hands.
Last Thursday, a DeBerry woman was walking her dog when a bear rushed her, leaving scratches on her face, hands, and back. After finding the bear in a tree, FWC says it was humanely euthanized.
I've seen humanely euthanized because black bears can climb trees. And when they're getting chased by somebody that's not afraid of them, they're going to climb up trees. And they usually just shoot the bear out of the tree. Sometimes they maybe use one of those dart guns and trank it. But I've seen them shoot bears out of the tree and they'll just hit every branch down the tree because black bears can climb trees, unlike grizzly bears. Black bears can climb trees like they're a cat. And they're really, really good climbers and they won't come down. I've also seen them trank them and then put like a trampoline out of somebody's backyard. I've seen them do that once, and the bear just got popcorned right off the surface of the trampoline.
The agency saying they've documented only 15 incidents of people being seriously to moderately injured by bears over the last 50 years.
It's very rare that this happens, and it's really unfortunate when it does.
And this morning, we're going to be talking with FWC as they just arrived back out here. Now, when it comes to this latest bear encounter, FWC says it's their policy to humanely kill a bear if captured, since it poses a threat to human safety. They also say anyone who feels threatened by a bear can call their hotline at 888-404-FWCC. For now, reporting live in Daytona Beach, Mark Lehman, Getty Results, News 6.
So like I told you earlier, I actually have the video. I'm going to post it up on all my social media. If you want to go to and follow me on social media, twitter.com/Tuttle, facebook.com/Tuttle, instagram.com/Tuttle, just search Tuttle. Tuttle with two D's, T-U-D-D-L-E. So this audio that I'm about to play for you, okay? Like I said before, I know a lot of people are going to think that I'm being heartless. I probably am. If anybody wants to be mad at anybody, is this guy for being an irresponsible pet owner. This guy didn't care, let his dogs just run all over the place. This guy probably lives close to the woods. Like I said, probably does not cover his garbage, doesn't even have a lid on it, not bear proof. Hell, even bear proof. Bears are smart. They'll get through those bear proof cans. Just give them enough time. They're able to solve complex problems. But this guy, he just let his dogs run out there. I know for a fact that if I had a family, wife, and kids, and I had small dogs, yeah, I would do something to try to protect them. But I'm not getting down on all fours. So the bear has a better chance to take a hack at me, take one of my eyes, ears, nose, something off of me, or even kill me. The chances of a black bear killing you are very, very slim. But I'm also not going to take the chance. I'm not going to put my life on the line to save an animal. I've told you guys about my policy of getting involved in things. Like, I would help my wife, kids. I'd put my life on the line if I had a wife or a kid. But also at the same time, I'm not going to help a stranger drowning at the beach. I'm not going to stop on the side of the road to help somebody change a tire. Because here in the state of Florida, people do not pay attention. They don't pay attention. They don't know where they're going. They're on their cell phones. And guess what? You know who needs me? My wife and kids. My family. They count on me to help take care of them. They count on me to help them out financially. And what's going to happen? If I save a pet, or I save a stranger from drowning or on the side of the road, and I get hit and killed, or I go out there and try to help that person that's drowning, and they pull me under and I die, then my wife and kids, my family, they're S out of luck. S-O-L. But here's the audio of this guy protecting his little dogs from a black bear. Yeah, dude. Should have known better. I mean, look. That's like me when I got kicked off of New Smyrna Beach for a whole year. I got trespassed because they were having all those shark attacks, shark bites. Nobody died, but a lot of people don't know this. New Smyrna is shark bite capital of the world. A lot of people are getting bit there because it's right there near the jetty, Ponce Inlet type area. And I went out there for a radio bit, wore a mullet belt, poured blood all over me, and I went out there and tried to surf. Did I get up on the board? No, that was the whole point. They just wanted me out there, and that was one of the most nervous times I had ever been in, because like every single little fish that bumped into you were like, yep, this is it. I'm about to get a chunk of meat taken out of my calf, and we'll call it a day for some dumbass radio bit. You letting your little dogs run around is like chumming those black bears. And a black bear, once again, I know that I'm sounding like a broken record, but a black bear is going to do what a black bear is just born to do, and that is eat. All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I got a great interview lined up because of my producer, Vulture. Lauren Finkelstein from SaveOnePerson.org is on the line with me right now. And I got a lot of great questions for her because I got a lot of friends that have, well, I wouldn't say a lot, maybe one or two that I know of that have gotten organ transplants, and thank God for that. But Lauren's going to come on and talk a little bit about the nonprofit that they have going on. Lauren, how are you today?
Great. Thank you. In the middle of a move, so it's a little bit crazy, but I'm great. Great to be alive. Great to see the trees. Great to see the ocean. To see the bay. I'm fabulous.
So Lauren, you're down in Miami right now. What are you visiting the old alma mater while you're down there, or no?
I love University of Miami. Although I would like to get involved with the what do you call that? The you know, when they have reunions, and I've never been involved because I'm a New Yorker. I live in Manhattan. But I would like to get involved. That's on my list of things to do.
Lauren, tell me a little bit about the nonprofit that you're working with, because I was looking at your bio and stuff, and I really do think SaveOnePerson.org got the right person for the job, because your background in broadcasting and producing and stuff is impeccable.
Thank you. So what Save One Person does is we use the media to save lives. And, you know, I used to be a television producer at King World and Court TV and WABC and WNBC as a freelancer. And to be honest, I used to think that the things they promote were so silly. You know, they didn't make, I don't want to sound condescending or judgmental, but I used to think, like, you know, how many times can you promote the Monica Lewinsky? I'm dating myself, but the Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton scandal, or O.J. Simpson. How many times could you hear, you know, if the glove don't fit, you can't convict? I know I'm dating myself. But I used to think, like, I used to do promos, and I used to think, wouldn't it be great if you took that airtime for 30 seconds and highlighted a person who needs life-saving help? And instead of, you know, the media being, you know, covering the news, the media was actually creating the news. And that's kind of how it was born. When I used to see those silly things being promoted. But then what catapulted me, or was the catalyst to actually doing it, was in 2001, I was close to a suicide bomb in Israel at Sbarro's Pizza Restaurant.
They got a Sbarro's in Israel?
Yes. Wow. It's in Jerusalem, right by the center. I believe it's on King George Street, which is right in the center, right by Ben Yehuda. 18 people were killed. And that was in August 9th, 2001. And I thought to myself, I'm not married. I've never done anything meaningful with my life. And it changed me. And I wanted to do something that contributed to the world and kind of like earn my keep here on this planet. It may sound corny, but that moment made me feel like a messenger, mm-hmm, or soldier or a conduit to do God's work here. I'm not really very religious or anything.
Me neither.
But I don't have a better word for it. I just felt called.
What about
to
a purpose?
Do something purposeful.
What about a purpose? I mean, I think you can have a purpose without being religious.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, Lauren, I want to ask you, though. So how many people has Save One Person helped out? Like, walk me through, like, what's the process like? Because my friend, who was the best man at my wedding, my ex-wife in my wedding, but he ended up had a really, really hard time finding a donor for a kidney transplant. And he was fortunate enough to be able to find somebody. And I know how hard it can be. Just walk a little bit through like what the process is.
So right now there's either two ways to get an organ, right? It's kidneys and livers, a living organ donor. And, or you can go on the list, the registry, for someone who's deceased and it has to be done. I can't talk about that part, but I can talk about
how do you help?
Organ. Well, we're a connector, and I don't want to make trite of this, but you know how like the dating sites, whether it be Tinder or or
Bumble,
you don't know the man or the woman you connect the two, and it's unlikely there's going to be a marriage, but when it does hit, it can create worlds, right? With these dating sites, there's been lots of marriages. It's almost the same analogy with an organ, a living organ donor. They don't know who the person is. And quite often it falls through. But when it hits, you save a life and you create worlds. I mean, one of my favorite stories is this man, Stuart Zimmer, who's one of the first lives that we actually helped save a life. 1010 Wins broadcasted his story. He was in
great
his
radio
30s.
Station.
He was in his early 30s. I think he was no older than 36. And he already had a kidney transplant. So it was incredibly hard to find him another organ, kidney donor, looking for a needle in a haystack. And 1010, graciously, kindly, like an angel, picked up our story. A woman by the name of Regina Greb in Manhattan heard his story, gave a kidney. And after the operation, after the surgery, sometime later, he had at least two more kids that I know of.
Wow.
So it's just putting it out there. And we're just a connector. We tell people the story, whether it be in social media, TV, radio, podcast, whatever, YouTube ad, tell the story. If it touches someone, now we have Google Grant ads. If it touches someone's heart, they're compelled to write in, to contact the information that we have on the post. And they take it from there. We're not a doctor. There's no license here. There's no medical background. We're just introducing people to take it to the next step.
Yeah, Lauren, it's kind of funny that you brought up radio and stuff. My friend Kevin, that was the best man at my wedding, he worked on radio as well too, because we were interns together at the same time. He was working at a radio station in Tampa, and a listener a listener of the radio show he was on actually donated one of his kidneys to save my one of my best friend's life. So it does show that radio in general, or TV, or local TV, I don't know. How much do you guys use social media to be able to put people in contact?
All the time, every week. All the time. Every week, we have a different person each week who we highlight. And every week it gets on social media.
Lauren, how has COVID affected the organ transplant donations and stuff? Because a lot of people don't realize this, that whenever you do have an organ transplant, they give you anti-rejection type medications, you know, so your body does not reject an organ. Has that affected the donation process in any way?
You know, the truth be told is I don't know.
I've done a lot of research. I was just curious if it made it a little bit difficult or anything.
Well, what I want to say is, you know, the world is changing with medical breakthroughs and things. And I am working with a company called BCM Industries. Excuse me. And what they are doing is they are taking, let's say, a tumor off of a kidney. And then, you know, when an organ is diseased, it's not always the whole organ. Quite often it's not. And they're taking healthy cells from the organ, and then they're putting it on a scaffold, and it duplicates itself, the healthy. And then they're replacing it, like a segment, a piece of it, back into the organ. And why I bring this up is because they were in clinical trials, actually, in Pakistan. And the clinical, two people died while waiting for the replacement parts because of COVID.
Yeah.
Things weren't getting through. So it's definitely affecting. I know for a while, in at least Manhattan, when COVID was at its peak, they were stopping all surgeries. Then they were just doing essential surgeries. And because organs are essential, I don't think there was much of a hold on it other than temporary.
Yeah. Lauren, I know you went to school down in Miami, but where are you from? I love accents and stuff. So I'm trying to nail down, like, definitely northeast, right? Like,
well, I'm a New Yorker, but I think my accent is, I didn't talk until I was three.
Are you for real?
And my parents didn't know if I was retarded.
Yeah.
I turn out not to be retarded, but maybe I have a little accent as a result of that.
No, I mean, I like it. I mean, when I was married, I was married to a Jersey girl from Toms River. So we spent a lot of time on the Jersey Shore and stuff. So I love accents and stuff. Now, can we talk a little bit about your bride? You said you worked at Court TV and stuff, right? What were you, a producer, field producer, stuff like that? Or what did you do?
I was a promotion producer there. And I started there really as I was like an assistant to the office. And then the director of promotions, it was just starting Court TV. And the director of promotions they hired needed like an assistant. So he looked at me and he said, "You come here." And I went over there and he said, "You're now a producer. You're producing these spots." So I went from an assistant to a producer. I mean, you know, I sat with him in the edit room, and then, like, I don't know, immediately, because they were so short staffed, I really became a producer overnight. And I was there for 4 years producing spots, and I loved it, actually.
Yeah, so you spent a little bit of time at WABC too as well, right?
Right. I was freelance there, and I did promos during sweeps period. They called me in a bunch of times during sweeps.
Did you ever get to meet Sam Champion? I mean, not a lot of people even know, you know, I know. I see.
Yeah. I mean, I met you work with all of them, but yeah. I wasn't like, I was on a rotating, I was a freelancer.
Yeah.
So I was never staffed there. So I didn't have, like, maybe I would hand copy over. I worked at CNBC too. And I used to work with Geraldo.
Oh, I covered the Casey Anthony trial down here in Orlando for a couple of radio stations, and Geraldo walked around and everybody gravitated towards Geraldo. Jane Velez Mitchell, she got mad at me because one of the lawyers from Casey Anthony flipped me the bird, and Jane Velez, it was right after the verdict, and Jane Velez Mitchell, like, walked up and was like, what did Janie Mason just do? And I turned around, even though she was on cable network, I flipped the bird into the camera because that's what Janie Mason did to me. And she got so angry. So angry. I was like, you're on cable network. So it really doesn't even matter.
Right. Right. Well, yeah.
Well, very cool. Well, once again, before I let you go, tell people once again how they can check out the website and how they can help. What is the best way for my audience that's listening right now? How can they help?
So you can go to save, if you have any interest at all in being a living organ donor, you can go to our website, saveoneperson.org. And at the top is four or five different tabs. You can click on urgent request. And every week we post a different person and you can just scroll through that list. Each post has a different contact number on it or email or how you can get in contact with that person. If you don't want to give be a living organ donor, we certainly need funds to help fund this operation. We're a nonprofit. That's one way. If you need a living organ donor, you can contact us, or better yet, if you need a living organ donor or know someone who needs a living organ donor, we actually have an app. It's called the Save One Person app. That's SaveOnePerson. And you can put yourself on the app, and we're always promoting that app, and people are constantly scrolling through that as well to see if there's a life that touches them to save. And you can also, there's a tab on our store called, on our website shop, Save One Person Shop at the top. And what's really cool about that is that there's other ways of saving a life. For instance, you can broadcast your need on a TV spot, or you can put yourself on a billboard. And there's a healing modality on there that you could book a session with me called Theta Healing. That's another healing. And there's also the Ann Wigmore Institute, which is a holistic place to cure your body. So there's out of the box ideas for healing miracles. You know, another thing that we're promoting, I'm going off on a little tangent, but we're also doing weekly pieces about prevention. A lot of people aren't educated in health and prevention other than the 2-minute blurbs that you hear. So we're getting out there things about alkalizing your body, things to detox, things to prevent disease in the first place, or mm-hmm. to give yourself a better shot at longevity.
Lauren, you guys, I know that I said was going to let you go, but I just thought of another question. I've been covering and hearing a lot of stories, talking about a lot of stories about using animal type organs for transplants now. What is that all about? I know that you're a part of getting human organs to other people, but is there that much of a shortage right now where we're pitting pig kidneys and hearts and human bodies and stuff?
I'm not that educated on it, but I can tell you my thoughts on that. I know that it's going on, and if it can help save a life in the interim, that's great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's over a million people worldwide who need a organ donor, and I think it's 17 people die a day waiting for an organ donor, and anything that can prolong a life. But I will tell you what's really exciting is something like BCM Industries that's going to revolutionize the way people get organs, which is to take out the disease part, fill it with the healthy part. And it's not even an organ donor. And there's all sorts of things on the horizon, like 3D organ printing, where they're going to be able to make heart, kidneys and livers and various organs through 3D organ printing. And that's all being worked on right now. And the advances you're going to see in the future, I mean, they'll probably put the living organ donation out of business and you won't need it in a more efficient way. And that's on the horizon.
Well, Lauren, I really appreciate the time. I hope you're enjoying all the sun down in South Florida. Escaping the frigid winter tundra that is known as the Great American North. I hope to talk to you soon. And if there's anything you ever need, just reach out to my producer, okay?
That was so sweet of you to interview me. Thank you. And much success with your podcast. And I'm a fan.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lauren. Have a great day.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover services brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.